All right, very good, beautiful. How many songs was that? I didn't keep up with it. All right, he probably doesn't know either. How many? Six. I was going to guess six. Okay. All right. Of course, I say that after he had held up six fingers, so you don't believe me, but I really was. I'm going to give you a very simple truth tonight that you already know. So I'm not going to belabor the point tonight, but I am going to remind you of the fact that Jesus is coming. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory and break through the blue. Some golden daybreak. For me, for you. I don't know what the time will be. It may be midnight where I am, but it'll be daybreak somewhere. But no matter what the time of day it is where he comes, it's going to be daybreak everywhere for us. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue, some golden daybreak for me, for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go. Prepare a place for you. That's what I'm going to do. And if I do that, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When they were therefore come together, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? It was the constant question in the 3 years of ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that the disciples were asking, when's it going to happen? When are you going to do this? Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That was their hope. That was still, even at this point after the resurrection, it was still their hope was limited to an earthly hope. Verse 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons. Now, there are people right now, some of them are good people, that are sitting around trying to figure the times and the seasons of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at the times and we say, the time must be near. I think so too. But I've heard the testimony of many who have said, I believe the Lord will come in my lifetime. Many of you have heard preachers say that too. Now, I don't know about that. I've never said that. I'll certainly be happy if he will come during my lifetime. But I don't mind death. I'd like to plan it the way I'd like it to be. we don't often get to do that, but I'm not intimidated by death. I think though the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a wonderful thing for those that are living, I think it's hard to imagine a better thing than out of a pain-racked body that is depleted and deprived and has gone to the very lowest levels of this life, and to walk out of that painful, sin-cursed body into the presence of my Lord through death. What relief and what glory. Amen. The only thing I don't realize is how pitiful and sin-cursed I am right now. And what a relief it would be right now to see him. But it's not for you to know. And for people to sit around trying to figure out something that God says, it's not for you to know. That That's not something you're supposed to know. What a waste of time. What a waste of time to try to find out something God says you're not supposed to know. Because the Father has put that in his own power. But, he said, now this is the important thing. It's not for you to know the time of the hour. But, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, what an experience. And I love the song. April sings it once in a while. I know other people must sing it, but I'm not exposed to the artists enough to hear it in other places. But I've never heard it in a place I enjoyed it more than on top of the Mount of Olives whenever April sang, I wasn't there when he went up, but I'll be there when he comes down. As they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Well, why wouldn't they? You know, why wouldn't they stand gazing up into heaven? But I think what the message is, it's not just a matter of gazing up into heaven. Now, we look for him, but while we're looking, we're fulfilling what he said back here, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why look you steadfastly up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it? What is it not? First of all, it's not one cataclysmic event that just, boom, nuclear bomb out of Iran on Jerusalem, and it's all over. It's not that. The first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was not, boom. Now, he came like that, but all of the things involving his life on earth are part of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ over a period of 33 years. That's the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is in phases, and it occurs over a period of time. It's not just one instant, the end of the world. And that's it. The second coming is much more than that. It's very, very planned, and God has a very precise sequence to it. Second coming of Christ is not salvation. Now, salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ does come to us, and he comes and abides with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. There is that coming of the Lord to us. But that's not the event that is described in the Bible right here. The same Jesus that is taken up from you in heaven shall so come again in like manner. That's not salvation. That's not salvation. Another thing it's not. It's not death. Some people think that that is the second coming whenever the Lord comes and takes us. And we use this terminology. The Lord comes and takes us home to be with himself. And I understand that that's what happens at death. And that is the truth. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I understand that and understand the truth of that. But that's not what's being described right here. And that's not what Jesus was talking about whenever he said, if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. It's talking about that event, which is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is that event that is the blessed hope. And that's the next thing I want to say about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blessed hope of the believers and a dreaded event for the lost. As believers, we go to be with Jesus. We're changed to be like him. We shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. and we'll be like him. Oh, glorious, glorious day. We'll be reunited with believers who have gone on from the earth. It'll be the end of suffering, pain, sadness, and misunderstanding and everything. And all of that really happens at death, but there's more to it than that. We enter our home of heaven with the redeemed, reunited, knowing one another, I think, of course, knowing one another. Not in the same relationships that we know here. Not in those things at all. In heaven, we're neither married nor given in marriage. That's not that kind of thing at all. But we are with the Lord, and carrying out his purposes throughout the rest of the second coming of Christ for the lost, for the unsaved. And this is what it really ought to speak to us. For the unsaved, it's the end of the opportunity to be saved if they've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm amazed, as Brother Ellis said a moment ago, how many people, and always whenever this comes to my mind and whenever it comes to my attention, I'm always amazed of the people that are around us that have never heard a clear gospel presentation. Well, they've never heard that. Many times I'll say to a person, have you ever heard that before? Never heard that before in my life. Never heard that before in my life. It's amazing here in our city, in Orange City. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I've got a son around here somewhere, but I don't know where he is. Where is he? Huh? Where'd he go? Did the rapture take place and he's the only one that went? Maybe something else took place. Anyway, he has the numbers because of his working with the schools now, particularly in the high school. But and somebody here would know this other than he. But the number of children in Orange City Elementary School that are homeless, it's absolutely amazing. Amazing. Give me the number. Give me the number. Do you have the number on the top of your head? I can't hear you. Homeless kids in Orange City Elementary. How many? 60? 53. I thought it was around 60. Okay. 53 in Orange City Elementary School. 53 kids that are homeless. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. But if they're homeless, how do they hear a clear gospel presentation? It's incumbent upon us. But for those that have heard, at the end of opportunity, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, read that. With everything else it means, it has to mean that, I think, that if a person has had a clear presentation of the gospel at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the rapture of the church takes place, the very first event, the first event of the second coming events is the rapture of the church, then, you know, we need to be about this business. It's the end of friendships for the unsaved, the end of fellowship with believers, the end of friendships and family relationships. It ends the call of God's mercy. It begins God sending them into strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And some people say, I'd never believe that. You don't know what you believe. God sends them strong delusion. They believe a lie that they all may be damned, that believe not the truth, but held the truth of God in unrighteousness. It's beginning of pain and suffering on the earth and a sealing to eternal damnation. If you miss salvation by 1 second, you miss heaven forever. It's a sure event of the future. I will come again. The Lord is not slack. 2 Peter chapter 3, he's not slack, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3, he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the Lord's set time, and I think oftentimes we say, if the Lord delays his coming. I don't think the Lord's going to delay his coming once that moment is set. When that happens, when that comes, that's it. That's it. He's not going to say, well, I think we'll put it off a little while. I don't think he's going to do that. I think it's a locked-in time, according to the Word of God, what he says the way it's going to be. And then the second coming of Christ is a series of events involving the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body coming back to the earth. First in the air, the resurrection of the blessed dead that died in the Lord, reuniting with their soul and spirit. The temporary body that they've been given at the time of death will be replaced by the body that they lived in here on earth, and they will be made like Christ. They will be made like Christ. And that's the first event. We that are living, and I say we, will be changed. And whenever that moment happens, there begins a definite timetable of events. A timetable of events that are going to take place that are locked in. Again, I say this to you. Whenever God deals with his people, the Jews, he deals with them on a very strict timetable. And whenever the rapture of the church takes place, he begins again dealing with the Jews. And that is a strict timetable. Whenever they went in to bondage, those who knew the Word of God knew how long they were going to be in bondage. They knew how long they were going to be in Babylon, how long it would be before the announcement was made to go back, that they could go back to Jerusalem. They knew how long it was going to be. It was going to be 70 years. That's what it was going to be. They had for 490 years ignored God's command to give the land rest every 7 years. And it was going to be 70 years. They were going to be in bondage. They knew that. The timetable of God is precise. Even to the timetable of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The timetable was precise. We may argue according to different calendars, and we may argue according to different events and argue about what event it measures from and so forth like that. But God sets a definite timetable. In his dealing with the church, he does not. He simply says, watch, for ye know not the day or the hour. It is not given to you to know the times or the seasons that God hath put in his own power. But the power you need, you will receive when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So it's a series of events that has to do with the rapture of the church and with judgment upon the earth and with the cleansing of the earth and with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. It's an event for which you must prepare if you're going to be ready. That makes sense, doesn't it? I'm always amazed every year at the predictions that are made for hurricanes. Never thought about it until I moved to Florida, but every year the predictions are made concerning hurricanes. And, of course, they all know from the time they make the predictions back in February or whenever they're going to make those predictions, and by the time you come around to the end of hurricane season, and we've passed that, haven't we? Didn't we? At November the 1st? Or did we pass that December? December the 1st is when hurricane season ends? I don't know. I just know it hasn't been what they predicted this year. And it seldom is. It seldom is. And it seems like we are due for one. But that is another story. It has nothing to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're going to be ready for a hurricane that comes, you got to get ready before it gets here. And the people in the Midwest today are going through terrible tornadoes. And a lot of devastation and destruction and people killed there. And, of course, the typhoon in the Philippines and all the storms that are happening there. Earthquakes everywhere. And it seems like the old earth is just shaking apart. I don't know. But it's only made to last for a set period of time anyhow. God just made it to last for a set period of time. And if everything's falling apart, it's okay. we ought to take care of it, take care of ourselves, everything. But, you know, whenever God's through with it, it's used up. That's enough. That's enough. That's the only warning we have. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 and 44, it simply says, watch, watch, watch. Same thing, chapter 25, in the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem, and he is preaching this sermon to the disciples that are there, and he's given them the final words of the kingdom. And he says in verse 42 of Matthew chapter 24, watch therefore, for you know not the day or the hour the Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. In chapter 25, verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. It is not given to you, Acts 1:7, to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power as far as restoring the kingdom. But you can be sure, you can be sure that whenever the rapture happens, 7 years later, that time of tribulation is going to be over. He's locked it in. He's locked it in. You can be sure that after that will come the judgment of living nations. You can be sure that after that is going to come the millennial reign on the earth. And you can be sure at the end of that, we're going to enter into eternity. You can be sure of that. And the only thing, the only way to be ready is to be ready before it happens. Are you as you want to be whenever the Lord comes and finds you? I sing the old song a lot. But doing good deeds, sowing good seeds, leaving life's follies behind me. Faithful each day, quick to obey. That's how I want my Lord to find me. When he comes again, oh, when he comes again, oh, may he find me faithful to him, doing my best, standing the test. That's how I want my Lord to find me. But you can be sure of this, as you are, so you will be. Let's stand together.